This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, folks, welcome back to another edition here of Krantz's Corner, the Dolphins Roundtable. And I was just telling the fellas just before, it's kind of the unicorn podcast. We're talking about a win. We got, I'm sure we'll find some negative to talk about, but they got the win in LA on Monday night. Dougley Durong, Mike from DolphinsTalk.com, both joining me here today. Fellas, man, we're starting with smiles today. Mike, I'll start with you, Mr. Smiley himself. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, look. This was the team we thought we'd see all year.
Right.
That game versus
the Rams.
Team I thought we'd see all season long. And it took until November 11th, but we finally saw it. Was it perfect? No, but it doesn't need to be perfect. That's asking too much. They were solid on defense. The offense scored enough. And they had some turnovers, executed. Hill and Waddle played a big factor. The young kids, were Chop or Wright or whoever stepped up and hit, Washington, they stepped up, made a play. That was as complete a game as we've seen since last season. So it wasn't perfect. Our quarterback made a couple boneheaded decisions, right. But that's okay because they overcame it and won. And that's what you want. Now, big picture, taking a step back. Do I think at 3-6 we're making the playoffs? No. And you can hate me for that. I don't care. I don't think this team can play that game 6 or 7 more times. But for one night, you can just enjoy a win against a good team on a road, something they almost never do, and just enjoy the win. And that's what pretty much Monday night was. All around, it was a solid performance, and it was a solid coached game as well, not just from Weaver, but from our head coach, who didn't do anything that made you pick up your remote and say, what the heck are you doing looking at your TV?
Earlier in the game, I think I tweeted out, Mike McDaniel's play calling drives me nuts. Early in the game.
But, it wasn't anything so egregious like it has been at times.
Right. That's absolutely right. You're right on that one. Dougley.
You're the negative one.
I was negative. I was. It was me.
Yeah, I was right there with you. I think it was like it took how long for him to finally run the ball? Like it took run the ball. It was a good game. It was a really good defensive game, held a team that got all their offensive linemen back, had Puka out there, had Cooper, had all the guys, and they didn't score a touchdown. So, and even with our guys getting hurt with further going out with the concussion, we still forced, field goal after field goal after field goal. And if we could do that for the rest of the season and bend not break and our offense can score touchdowns, we can win some games that'll shock some people. I really like the way the defensive line played. That's the defensive line we'll see when they don't have to face a mobile quarterback, because when we got to face a mobile quarterback, it's a problem. But you saw Chop get another sack, Clay's Campbell, had a lot of guys get in there, do their thing. You had Javon Holland get in there, get a sack. So it was nice to see that. Tua was a little inconsistent, making some. The perfect example of Tua's night was taking a sack, making it like 3rd and 19.
Right.
And then the very next play, converting that 3rd and 19. It was like, that was his night in a nutshell, where you're like, Tua, what are you doing? And then the next play, you're like, okay. It was such an up and down night for him. But we got the win. We're not the Jets. That's all I can say.
Right. We are not the Jets. You're on prime time. You're on Monday Night Football. I didn't know what to expect from this team, what they were going to come out and do. If this was one of those games where they're going to get blown out early and I'd be asleep at halftime. And it was great. Malik Washington to start that game gave me a little spirit early in the game. I loved that. That was fun to see. And listen, outside of a couple, like Mike said, and you said, Dougley, a couple questionable Tua kind of calls and plays in the game, and then trying one of the worst tackles on an interception I've ever seen maybe in my life, especially from a guy who's concussion, like Mr. Concussion Protocol, although he doesn't want to be that. He told Jeff Darlington, everyone saw that, you know, a little 10-minute piece or whatever it was. He's just going to have to learn, right? Like, at some point, someone's going to have to tell him close to him, bro, don't do it. Like, but I mean, someone's got to tell him, right? I don't care if it's Mike McDaniel or Stephen Ross coming downstairs and saying, Tua, listen, you're a franchise quarterback. If that happens and you're off a yard off the sideline, just kind of nudge him out. Like, you don't have to go for his legs and get kneed in the head. Mm-hmm. I saw that and I was like, oh my God, here it is. Like, he's going to be out the rest of the game. Something bad's going to happen. Someone's got to say something to him. I don't care if it's Nick Hicks. Someone's got to say something.
I'm sure they have. I don't think he cares, honestly. And you know, I hate to say it. It's one of those things where he got the money. He don't care. I just don't think he cares. But yeah, I mean, let's, from a normal person's perspective, what's the worst thing that happens? A guy scores a touchdown. Okay, right. Sucks. But what's the real worst thing that can happen? So he gets hurt and he's out 4 to 5 weeks, 6 weeks, or maybe it's the, you know, one shot to the head where he can't come back. He doesn't think that way. We think that way. Right. He don't think that way. And if it hasn't sunk in yet, after everything he's been through, odds are it ain't. And that's where the organization, you know, after the season and stuff, really has to sit down and be like, when's the realistic out from this contract? Because I hate to say it, he ain't changing. And this is going to be the thing that's going to hang over this whole franchise moving forward, because I don't know, you know, he's good. Nobody's saying he's a bad quarterback. He's not. He's good. But is he so good that you can live with that type of risk? Big picture-wise, not just week to week.
No, the answer to that is no, because if he gets hurt again, we saw what happened when this team doesn't have Tua on this team, and Skyler or Huntley or anyone else is quarterback in this team. It's not even close to being the same offense or anything like that. I don't care who. You could have the entire offense there, every guy there, backups, everyone there, and a backup quarterback, and it's not the same team. I know that's for every team in the NFL. Buffalo loses Josh Allen. The Chiefs lose Patrick Mahomes. I get it. But in this particular offense, we've seen Tua do well, and everyone else kind of, you know, kind of the guy or not. Dougley, what did you think about, and you brought it up, the run game? I mean, they ran the ball 22 times, but 67 yards. It's not going to win a lot of games. I know this was a weird one because the defense really, like you said, held the Rams to no touchdowns. But Rams score a touchdown anywhere in this game, it's a different game, and they're not running the ball well here. It's amazing. They go 1 week where they're great at running the ball, another week where they're not. I get NFL defenses are different. Some are better, some are worse. But, man, that was a huge disparity in the last couple of weeks to what we saw last night.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, we barely, like you said, 67 yards on the ground after doing really well the previous games. And I think a lot of it had to do with how well that Rams defensive line is, and I underestimated the Rams defensive line, but they have some guys on there I wanted the Dolphins to draft, and those two rookies and Verse and I think Brisk is the other guy's name.
The two Florida State kids
that I wanted the Dolphins to get. Those two guys really did make a big difference, because our guards were playing like trash. Even Kendall Lamb at some point was getting blown off of his blocks. You know, we had a few runs here and there that was nice, got us the first downs and stuff, but the offensive line was struggling. If it wasn't with the run game, they were also struggling with, you know, instant pressure on Tua, which definitely did hurt. And now I just find out that, you know, Austin Jackson is done for the year.
Right.
So we're going to have to, you know, hopefully Kendall Lamb is a left tackle, and it is hard to go from one side to the other. So hopefully he can anchor it down a little bit more. But the guard, it's the same situation that we had in the offseason. The offensive line is playing better than we expected, but it's those guards. It's, you know, Robert Jones goes out and it didn't get any better. And, you know, Robert Jones was not playing well. Liam Eichenberg, the best thing Liam Eichenberg did last night was that flop and got us 15 yards.
Right. Yeah, the headbutt. I love it.
Outside of that, you know, there was nothing he really did well. And it's another situation where, you know, we might have found our center in Brewer, because Brewer's playing better and better. We found, hopefully, our future in Patrick Paul to replace Teron Armstead. We got to find some guards. So the offensive line didn't play good. And I think that also equated to only scoring as many points as we did in the run game being kind of non-existent.
Funny you're more worried about the offensive line than they are, Doug. That's all I'm going to say. Right, you are more worried.
Right.
We're not worried.
You're worried. Sure. Worried. The crazy part is that we could have taken Doug's comments and played them every year for the last 18 years trying to find guards for this team outside of like 1 year where they had decent guards or 2 years and they had decent guards. I feel like it's the hardest thing for this team and this franchise to find are good guards to play. Bring back Richie Incognito. Is he still around? Can he play a little bit? I mean, I would take him at this point
meeting
here.
At the strip club. Let's go to the strip club. Have some meetings.
Just down the street. So he's right there.
You know what? Here's the deal, though. You know, there's for every action, there's a reaction. I didn't think he was going to get that he was going to lose his job anyways, Greer. But if they win a couple games, even if they fall short of the playoffs, which they probably will, there's no he's coming back. So if you think next offseason, he's going to go out there and buy, let me get this guy for right guard, this guy for, it ain't happening. We're going to go through this whole thing because he ain't changing for nobody. If they win a couple games late, it's just going to empower him to say, see, bad luck early. We had the injury. My way works. Trust me, I know what I'm doing. And he's going to go back to the same old song and dance where avoid nose tackle. I'm not going to spend any money there. Not going to spend any money at right guard or left guard. So, I mean, honestly, the best thing to do would be just lose every game and just get rid of this guy. But that ain't happening. Because it probably wasn't happening anyways, but any hope is really out the window. Austin Jackson being hurt is going to – that's actually going to sting a little bit. But, you know, the bar is set so low for this offensive line that anytime they, like, just don't look totally inept, everyone says they're playing well. I don't know if they're playing well. They're just not as bad as we thought and as we've seen over the years they can be. But, yeah, that's the one thing here. Chris Greer – ain't going nowhere if they win a few of these games. Like, we think they'll probably beat the Patriots and Raiders and stuff. Like, he ain't going nowhere. Right. And this offensive line song and dance ain't going to change in 2025, 2026. Ain't going to change because he ain't changing.
It was nice to see Quentin Bell and Chop get those sacks last night. And who's...
Chop's a dude. Chop's
right. Like, you know what this, this is not fair to Jalen Phillips because Jalen Phillips is, when he's healthy, is a superstar. Like, he could be a superstar, and we all see that. He's got the potential. But it took a couple games, 5 or 6 games, for Jalen Phillips to kind of get into the groove.
He had two games his rookie season. Two good games his rookie season.
Right. He jumped into like a 7-sack, like 7 sacks in like 2.5 games or whatever it was. Chop's taken 10 games or 9 weeks to get into this. But let me tell you, he made 2 moves last night. And one of them, it kind of looked like Holland got the sack, so he kind of gave up. He could have gotten a half on that. I don't know if they gave it to him or not. But he kind of like popped back a little bit instead of trying to tackle the guy. But I'll tell you, I'm happy. Maybe the first couple weeks of the season, it was like the Chop Robinson, what is he going to do? How is he going to be? He got into it the last couple weeks. I'm excited to see what the rest of the season's like. Doug, I'll go to you here. But also, if you have any information, because I don't know much about Tyrell Dotson, I know they picked him up off waivers today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going to talk about that.
Look at that transition. It's like we're on the same page, Doug. Tell me what you think. First, comment on Chop a little bit, but then I want to hear what you think about Tyrell Dotson.
So I'm a huge Jalen Phillips fan. Like, to me, he's the next coming of Jason Taylor if he can just stay healthy.
Right?
I love Jalen Phillips. And, you know, that's the biggest thing with him. If he could have stayed healthy last year, I think he gets 12 sacks on the season. He was just as dominant as can be. But you look at Chop. And Chop, his biggest thing coming into the pros and coming out of college is his first step is dangerous. He had a hard time finishing what he started. And you saw that's kind of what we were dealing with him for the first, 8 games of the year. Right. A lot of times we saw him falling And that was driving me nuts. A lot of times his feet would get out from under him. He would fall. But I pull up Will Anderson's stats, who won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Right.
He had one sack week one against Baltimore. He didn't get another sack until week eight against Tampa Bay. Then he went on a little bit of a tear and had seven sacks altogether all his rookie year. So I'm not I wasn't expecting Chop to go off. Even like Jason Taylor, he had two sacks his rookie year.
Right.
Didn't do anything. And then his third year kind of dropped off after getting nine. So being a pass rusher is hard. It's almost as hard as being a corner as a rookie, because you are kind of like on your own. You got to learn new techniques. You got to face bigger guys. Like, you're in the college, you're facing these offensive linemen that aren't going to even make it to the pros.
Right.
These are the big guys. These are, you know, these big, strong guys. So I'm excited to see what Chop can do now that he's starting to get an understanding. He is working with Bradley Chubb. He is working with Teron Armstead every day after practice to get his technique down. That one sack he had, that stunt where he was on the outside and all of a sudden I thought they blitzed him at linebacker, because the way he shot the center and went right in there, a thing of beauty. And again, we're not facing mobile quarterbacks again for, I think, maybe the Patriots game when we got to face May. And then again, we go back to, you know, not having to face, you know, when we face the Jets, forget about it. I think he's going to eat against the Jets.
Yeah.
That is our Achilles heel, is facing those mobile quarterbacks. When we don't face them, I think this defensive line is going to feast. But talking about Terrell Dotson, it was interesting that the Seattle Seahawks cut him. They said that something about they were going in a different direction and they did it for him. But last year with Buffalo, he had a really good year. He had an 89.5 overall PFF grade. He had an 82.6 run defense grade and a 73.7 pass rush, 86.8 coverage grade. He was a really good middle linebacker, and he's young. He was drafted in 2019.
Right.
So, you know, the fact that the Dolphins, when I saw that the Seattle Seahawks cut him, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, I want the Dolphins to claim him, but every time someone gets cut, and I want
never
the Dolphins,
makes
like,
it.
Like, Yannick Ngakoue got cut, and I'm like, hey, that's a perfect opportunity for the Dolphins to claim him. You know, we need a pass rusher. And then I think he went to, like, the Giants or something like that. Like, he went to a team that isn't a competitor. And I'm like, oh, okay, I guess. Oh, no, he went to the Patriots.
Yeah,
the number one team on the claim order. So I'm like, all right, you know, we wouldn't even have a chance at him. But when I saw Terrell Dotson get cut, I was like, you got to go after him. You know, we kind of need a middle linebacker here, especially with Dave Long Jr. struggling, and, you know, Walker came in, did really well with his interception, but this guy's good, and lo and behold, we claim him. And I think that is a Weaver banging the table situation, and I think he's going to fit really well. Now, here's the thing. You got to put him on that active roster. Do not leave him on that practice squad, because he might get poached
scooped
again.
Up. Right. Totally scooped up.
But it's a huge, absolutely huge spot for him, and he's going to be a starter. He'll be a starter for the Dolphins.
Should be, right? Yeah.
Should definitely help the defense. And again, if we can get the defense going and if we can keep the offense going, see what happens with the rest of the season.
I like the optimism there, Dougley. Very nice. Mike, what did you think, by the way, of Anthony Weaver's defense and the scheme last night? I thought he did a pretty good job.
It was brilliant. I'm more worried about the offense moving forward than I am that side of the ball, because that side of the ball, when it's healthy, I think it's good enough in this league. This is an offensive league. You got to score points to win games. As we saw last night, the Rams couldn't. But I thought Weaver was fine last night. Mobile quarterbacks, again, that's going to be the issue. But if you take a look at our schedule, we really see a ton of them the rest of the way. So I think that side's going to be fine. It really comes down to, can the offense execute? Can you keep the quarterback upright? Can you make smart choices? And can you continue to put up points, you know, at a north of 24 or so clip, somewhere along those lines, the rest of the way? If so, they're probably going to win a bunch of games. I don't know if they're going to win them all, which I think they almost kind of need to do, but they're going to win a bunch. And at least it'll be interesting to follow the rest of the way. Okay. And here's something else for people who have eyes in the playoffs. Take a look at the Colts schedule outside of one game versus the Lions. And this is a problem because they owed a tiebreaker against us outside here. I should read it since I was the one bringing it up. Outside of the game versus the Lions, look at the Colts. They got, hold on, I'm going to get it right here in a second. Jets, Lions, Patriots, Broncos, Titans, Giants, Jacksonville. Oof. Hello. They, I think, are going to sleepwalk to the playoffs with Joe Flacco being old as dirt. outside that Lions game, I don't know if they lose any of those other ones. You want to talk about a bad schedule, Jets, Patriots, Broncos, Titans, Giants, Jaguars. I mean, none of those teams are any good. Maybe the Broncos are decent at times, but that's the problem that Miami has, is even if they go on a, you know, a hot streak here, a team that's got a win or two more than them, who owns a tiebreaker over them, just has a really – there's no San Francisco there. There's no Packers or Houston there. That's a team that I think is probably going to easily get that final wild card spot. But for Miami, you know, for people who don't care about the draft and don't care if you're picking 8th or 18th, you got to win. And it, you got something to follow here for the next month. Just don't lose next week. Lose next week, I swear to God, it makes this one on Monday night totally worthless, and you'll see a really angry fans of the Dolphins.
Oh, yeah. Doug, I'm going to go to you here because you remember when we had all our pre-draft kind of roundtables, my love affair with a certain tight end from Georgia. We're going to see him this week coming up here, Brock Bowers. I would have done anything to get him. I just thought he was a missing piece, you know, on a team that needed a guy at the middle. Although Jonnu Smith has had a couple good games in a row now. I'm going to give Jonnu Smith that.
Last night was awesome.
Right. Like I don't want to take anything away from Jonnu Smith because how many weeks in a row did the three of us sit here and say, like, where is this HR, whatever position that he's actually playing, whatever it was. Like, where is this guy? But, Jonnu Smith on one side, Brock Bowers on the other. I mean, the Dolphins always have a hard time covering that tight end. This kid is really, really good. What have you seen from Brock this season so far outside of one of the dominators on my fantasy team at this point?
Yeah, I'm going to be at the game Sunday, too. Ooh, so hopefully
I like it.
They don't mess this one up. I think a lot of people wanted Brock Bowers. And, you know, when the draft came and the Raiders took him, we were all like, typical Raiders. Like, the Raiders didn't need a tight end, and of course they take Brock Bowers, but he's that type of talent that you got to take. But I am happy with Jonnu Smith. I'm happy that they're finally using him properly, and his yak ability is showing. Like, he almost had that touchdown, which, you know, it was so close to being a touchdown if his elbow wasn't down. And I love that Tua is now getting the ball to him. They're scheming for him, looking for him, and, you know, last year we were looking at the offense and saying, "Oh, we're forcing it to Tyreek too much." Now we're not, and it's because the team is doing the thing; they're doing it right on offense. Defenses don't want to give up the one score touchdown. We do have very fast players, very fast weapons on this team. They're playing two high safeties. They're playing deep. You're not going to beat them on go routes or anything like that. And you might here and there, you got to make the throw. But outside of that, we saw it on, I think it was a 3rd and 3. They finally called a play that I was hoping they would call instead of like, okay, we're going to run it. We're going to run it on 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 1. They went wide, and then they had Achane in the backfield. He ran a corner route and hit him, and there was no one in the middle of the field because everyone was worried about the outside receivers and going deep. Left that middle of the field wide open, and that's what the Dolphins' offense is going to be now. It's not going to be that offense we had last year where we're chucking it, going, you know, having 500 yards a game, 400 yards a game. We're going to take what you give us. And we have the weapons now to get the yards after carry and the yards after contact and Jonnu Smith and Achane and all these guys, and we're going to take it. So I'm excited. We just got to put it together. And that's can it, they right? put it together? I don't know.
It's amazing, too, because we could go on for about an hour and a half, the three of us, when they lose a game about everything, and they won, and it's like, all right, I'm already out of, like, you know, all the craziness from the game. Outside of one thing, and I'm going to leave on this, and I'm going to let you guys promote your stuff here in just a second. Dear fantasy baby Jesus yourself, please stop Jalen Waddle with the dropsies, okay? Please. It's like, won a game now? I can't handle it. I can't handle it anymore when I'm starting Ladd McConkey over Jalen Waddle. You know I got a problem with my fantasy
team. I got a
team.
Question. And yes. It's just yes or no question, not long. Is anyone buying that Tyreek Hill's wrist injury was re-aggravated from the whole thing prior to week one when the Cowboys put the hand up? Or is he setting himself up for a nice little lawsuit after the season? Just yes or no. Look, he's a great player. He's a Hall of Fame player. I think he's one of the 5 best people to ever play wide receiver. I was on his side through the whole incident week one. He was right. The cops were in the wrong. But when I hear stuff like that, he is tough to root for at times.
Mm. It just, My quick answer would be no, I don't believe that the wrist was aggravated then.
I want to make sure I'm not alone on an island.
No, but I do believe if they lost last night, there would be some sort of wrist surgery today and yeah, he'd be out for the rest of the season. Right, yeah. I do think that. Dougley, tell everyone where to find all your stuff. It's a winning week. We got nothing to talk about this week. What do you got, Dougley?
YouTube.com/DougleyDoWrong. I will have the film breakdown out tomorrow, looking at the good and the bad. Shorter week because we played it on Monday, and then I leave Saturday heading down to Miami.
Let's see what LaSpada's. Mike, what do you got?
Go to the website, dolphinstalk.com. Follow myself on social media at dolphinstalk.
Yep, I love it. All right, that's going to do it for us. It's like a shortened version because, you know, Dougley's coming down here this week. And they won. So, like, that's just what happens here on the round table. We're too happy to talk at this point here. All right, for Dougley and for Mike, this is the Crances Corner Dolphins round table. We will welcome Dougley into town here in a couple days. Hopefully he gets some decent weather. It looks like there's going to be some decent weather this weekend. So there you go. It's not going to be so sweaty. Not training camp sweaty, so you'd be lucky there. Mike got some pretty good weather when he came down.
84, 85 right. Was beautiful.
He got some good weather. Hopefully we can match that for Dougley's appearance here in South Florida. All right, it's going to do it for us. Thank you for always watching, supporting, listening, doing the whole thing here at Crances Corner Dolphins Roundtable. For Mike, for Dougley, I'm Zach. We'll speak to you next week. Shorter versions with wins? I'll take it at this point. See you next week here on Dolphins Roundtable.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.